How we doing? We're good. Thanks, James. Why don't you give James and Steve a hand doing the production stuff up the top there? That song that that he just played is by a band called Wasp. Don't know if anyone knows who they were. In the 80s, they were pretty filthy, to be honest. They weren't Christians at all. They were. They wrote some hits that were decidedly disgusting. In fact, they were known as the. If you could think rock and roll was bad, they were the bad of the bad. And a lot of their songs had swear words and all sorts of things. And the incredible thing about that is that in the last decade, the lead singer of Wasp got saved, came to Christ, and their music has radically changed, and he gives all glory to God. And it's quite amazing to see someone like that from that background, who sometimes we write off, don't we? We see them in the world and kind of say, oh, well, they'll never make it, you know? They'll get their just desserts. Maybe we sometimes think that. And what an incredible thing to see God do. Nobody is vulnerable from the gospel. Amen. So that's really exciting and really cool. And yes, anyway, enough of that. Let's get into the Word of God. Is anyone hungry tonight? Yeah, I'm not talking about McDonald's though. You know what I'm saying? Who's hungry for the Word tonight? I can hear those tummies growling. Those spirits growling. Awesome. Why don't we turn to Romans chapter 11. I've been talking on vineyards. Last time I spoke, we spoke about new beginnings, new creations, new starts. And vineyards is a fascinating symbol in the Bible. God always speaks of a new beginning. And often when he talks about a new start, we talked about this last time, that a vineyard is mentioned. There's an establishment of a vineyard. And a vineyard symbolizes many things, but it symbolizes this new beginning, this new start. Often after a disaster, after a hard time, going through a period of strife, there is this hope that is coming. And God promises that. And we looked at Jeremiah, the prophecy, if you remember that. If you didn't, check it out online. You can listen to it there. But we talked about this fact that God always brings hope. No matter what the situation is, no matter what you're going through, no matter how dire the situation looks, even in those places where there are sometimes casualties and hard things that you have to go through, there is this promise that a vineyard is coming. There is this new season. There is this new hope. There is this new joy that is going to come back into your lives. And that's an awesome thing. And so I'm going to go in a slightly different directions and looking at vineyards. So I want to look at branches. Immediately we can think of John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches, but we might touch on that, but that's not going to be our main text for tonight. I'm going to look at Romans, and Paul's writing here to a Gentile church. He's speaking to a group of Gentiles, and he wants to explain some things to them about their inheritance, of where they've really come from in their faith. And so I'm going to pick up in verse 13. You can read the rest of the chapter just for time. I'm not going to read the whole chapter tonight. We're just going to start in verse 13, and I'm going to go through to around about verse 24. So here we go. Are you ready? No, turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? No, it's church on a Sunday night. Don't ask me to be ready. It's not the right time or the place. All right, well, that's okay. I'm ready, so I will start. And if you're not ready, you can catch up. Here we go. Romans chapter 11 and verse 13. I am saying all this, especially for you Gentiles. God has appointed me as the apostle to the Gentiles. I stress this. For I want somehow to make the people of Israel jealous of what you Gentiles have. That's a crazy statement right there. That shakes a few Zionists' trees, but we won't go there tonight. We'll just keep on reading. So I might save some of them. For since their rejection meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, their acceptance will be even more wonderful. And that's the awesome thing about that, is there is this example of the Gentiles getting saved. And through that, it is Paul's heart cry, through that God will get so much glory because the Jews will want to come back into the church. And so that's that statement there. And in verse 15, for since their rejection meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, their acceptance will be even more wonderful. It will be life for those who were dead. I want you to remember that. It will be life for those that were dead. And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will also be holy, just as the entire batch of dough is holy because the portion given as an offering is holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. I want you to remember that as well. For if the roots of the tree will be holy, the branches will be too. There is a flow-on effect. But some of these branches are from Abraham's tree. Some of the people of Israel have been broken off. And you Gentiles, who were branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in, so that now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You are just a branch, not the root. Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ. And you are there because you do believe. So don't go thinking highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. For if God did not spare the original branches, he won't spare you either. Notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe towards those who disobeyed, but kind if you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you also will be cut off. And if the people of Israel run from their unbelief, they will be grafted in again, hallelujah. For God has the power to graft them back into the tree. You, by nature, were a branch cut from a wild olive tree. So if God is willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting you into his cultivated tree, he will be far more eager to graft the original branches back into the tree where they belong. Let's pray. Father, we just are so grateful tonight to be in this place in your presence. What an incredible time of worship, Lord. We were just soaking in your goodness and thinking and being reminded again of what it is to belong to your family, to be part of your tree. Lord, we are so grateful tonight and we love you. And Lord, we ask that as we dive into this piece of scripture tonight, Lord, that you would perhaps spark our hearts alight, Lord God, with the truth that will take us forward, will set us free from things, Lord God, that we would be the disciples and the children that you want us to be. So, Lord, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, by whom which we are here. Amen. Paul lays out this image of a tree, a holy tree. This picture, which, as I said before, we've kind of heard before. This isn't necessarily a new thing. John writes about it in John chapter 15, this idea of a vine as a picture of God and our relationship to him, what the church would look like, what his desire for the church would be. I'm going to go to the next slide. Thanks, Steve. And any tree is kind of, by and large, made up of a few things, but I want to highlight four things. Is that okay? So trees, vines, whatever it is, whatever kind of plant it is, you start with a root system at the bottom that grows into a trunk, which is the solid part of the tree, of the plant, that holds kind of everything together. Then you have branches that break off from the trunk, and on the end of the branches is the fruit, or leaves if you want, but fruit, the things that beautify it, decorate it, that also give nourishment to those that want to come along to the tree. And so that's kind of a simple diagram that I dug up there that kind of illustrates that. And like I said, in John chapter 15, Jesus talks about this. He says, I am the vine, I am the trunk, I am the thing that holds us together, I am the solid foundation, I am the strength that there is in the tree, and you are the branches. You are the branches that sprout off from the tree. It is from the trunk that you gain the nourishment to the branches. The branches can't receive nourishment. They can't receive life. They can't receive what it needs to produce fruit unless it is connected to the trunk. That kind of hopefully makes sense for you. If you're a horticulturalist, that was easy. If you're a gardener, if you're green-fingered, you would have loved that. Those of you who aren't, I just taught you something. There you go. Paul here writes of this very picture that Jesus was talking about, but in respect to the Jewish people. And what we're going to do is I'm going to attempt to do a little bit of teaching here, so hopefully this goes okay, and then we'll get to the preaching bit. Is that okay? Because that's the fun bit. And so this isn't really my gifting, but we want to just nail some things down and lay some of these comparisons out, because that's really what Paul's doing. So he wants us to... We know that the whole Jewish nation, for example, we do know that the whole Jewish nation didn't turn to Christ. When Christ came, there were those that rejected him. We know that, okay? We know that. But in saying that, there is a truth here that we need to understand, is that salvation came through Christ to the Jews. The first fruits, the first responders to the gospel were the Jewish people. And so we have this area where we have some of those who heard who did not listen, and some that heard that did listen and began to establish this tree. Can we go to the next slide, ma'am? And so there's this comparison that Paul was showing us here of Abraham and Jesus. Let's bring those titles up, ma'am. There we go. Abraham and Jesus. Yeah, it did change the font, didn't it, bro? You're right. Anyway, and so we have this comparison. He paints a comparison with Abraham. Just as Abraham's faith was the first fruits of the faith in the Father, the roots of his belief passed on a blessing to all that believed, that were part of that tree. So Abraham's roots were his faith. He had faith in who God was. He got to know who God was. And from that, the roots were planted for the faith, for a tree to spring up that would be based on who Jehovah was, who he would be, and how the people would be connected to him. As in comparison, we have Jesus, who plants the roots in the faith of his first followers, the first Jewish believers. So the first Jewish believers were the ones who responded to the message of Jesus, and they became that root system. They became that first planting of Christ, becoming an established truth for the future that was to come. And so these first believers were the ones who responded first, and they established the root system. The comparison is this. It was the Jews who were the first to believe in Jesus. And so they established the root for the church, and all those who would accept Christ as they became part of the blessing of salvation. As I said before, so Abraham's faith set up the root system here, allowing the nation of Israel to rise in faith of who God was. The revelation wasn't Abraham. Abraham is not the root. His faith is the root. Does this make sense? Is this okay? Just as the first Jewish believers, they weren't the root. Their faith in who Jesus was, believing him, accepting him as the Christ, became this root for the church. Is this okay? Well, we're not sure. Let's keep going. Last time I spoke, I spoke about new beginnings. Hopefully you do remember that. And I talked about what vineyards symbolize. We also looked at what wine symbolizes. Do you remember that? The vineyards obviously grown. It was a treasure. It was something special and sacred in the ancient world. And we talked about what wine symbolized. It symbolized these things. It symbolized sustenance, life, covenant blessing, joy. Is this our next slide? Sorry, man. Covenant blessing, joy, celebration, festivity, and abundant blessings of God. These were kind of the things that the ancient world responded to with wine. They saw these symbols in there. And so the Jewish people, that's why they held wine in this special place. Every vineyard goes on to harvest, doesn't it? That's the whole point of producing a vineyard. It's not just to look at. There is a harvest that needs to come. So the planting of a vineyard wasn't just to have a vineyard. It was to have a harvest. And every harvest has a first harvest or a first fruits. Is this okay? That makes sense. You need to harvest the first time to get more later. Paul wants us to see something about the establishment of the church. The first fruits are a symbol of what the future harvest will look like. And Paul actually touches on that in the scriptures. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 11, verse 16. Is that the slide, man? Just, it is. And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, the descendants will also be holy. Just as the entire batch of dough is holy because of the portion given as an offering is holy. For it is the roots of the tree, for if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. There is this flow-on effect that takes place. There is this flow-on effect of the goodness that comes from the root that goes through the tree and into the branches and out into the fruit. If the branch is not connected to the trunk, to the tree, then there is not going to be any fruit. And it's certainly not going to be fruit that's going to be worth eating. It's going to be fruit that you're going to throw away. And so here you have Abraham showing us that parallel what I had before of the two trees. There is this tree like this, and there is this new tree. And you need to understand that this new tree is because of the old tree, but there is something new that's taking place. There is this new process that's going on with branches. And so So by giving the first fruit over to God, there is an establishment of honor and blessing of the Father as a starting point in the church. Every root needs to start in a place of honoring the Father and receiving blessing from the Father, understanding that it is because of the Father, who the Father is. He gives us blessing, and we honor him with our lives. That should be the foundation of our faith. Do we believe in who God is? Do we believe in who Christ is? And do we honor that, or do we just kind of take it for granted? Therefore, because like we kind of heard this morning, there's this thing that we run around wanting a blessing, but we're not willing to honor to get the blessing. There is this process that needs to take place where we honor the Father. And if there's the root of our tree, then the blessing will come, the fruit will come for us. In fact, this is a reference, what he's talking about here, about the dough is a reference to Numbers chapter 15, verse 20, where the Jews are instructed to offer up a cake, it says, of their dough to the Lord when they first prepared the bread from the new harvest. There is a symbolism of the first fruits of giving over to God, to giving the honor to him, to honoring him so that the blessing will come. Why? Because the rest of the batch, by making that cake, that portion holy, by giving that to God as a sacrifice and offering that to him and saying, God, I give you my first fruit. I honor you. I honor you in my first fruit. Therefore, the rest of the batch becomes blessed and holy as well. James Burton Kaufman states it like this. He said, the first fruits and the root in this verse refer to the Jewish Christians. It is this connection that Jesus is saying is there is this first fruit, there is this first honoring that takes place. And the first Christian believers, the first Jewish believers who were Christians, are a representation of that. And so you need to see that there's something taking place here. There's this offering of a cake out of the rest of the dough. There is this first fruits. But that isn't it. That isn't all that is blessed. Because in Numbers we read that because that is blessed, the whole dough becomes blessed. Everything about that harvest becomes blessed just because of the one little offering. One portion that is given to the Father to honor him, to say, God, I honor you as the one who has blessed me with this. And therefore, the whole batch will now be blessed as a result of that. And so, do you see here, there is something that's going on where Paul wants this Gentile church, this non-Jewish church, to see that they are blessed. Their portion has been blessed because it was a first fruits. There was a first fruits message that responded to honor God, to honor the Father, and therefore received the blessing that they are now partaking in. So this Gentile church is now blessed because of the first Jewish believers. It isn't because of what they've done. It's because of what Christ has done, but that message isn't because they were clever. It came through these first Jewish believers. And so Paul is just showing that and laying that out so they can see it. So the new beginnings of salvation is this. The church has been founded in Christ Jesus. And the first fruits are those Jewish believers that responded to Christ's message. They are the first fruits. They are the root that has been laid down. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 11, verse 17. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you Gentiles were branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. Even though the tree has been established by the Jewish people, an amazing thing has happened. If we read the account of the book of Acts, if you go back and read the account of the book of Acts, we know that there was an incredible acceptance of Christ among the Gentiles. There's this, all these stories of Gentiles coming to Christ. And even as we read Paul's epistles, it's obvious that there is more and more Gentiles, non-Jewish people, coming to respond to Jesus. This perhaps surprised a lot of the early believers, the Jewish early believers, who had this ongoing relationship with God for millennia. They had been walking with God since Abraham. They had had this inheritance. They'd learnt this way of living, this way of honoring God, and they'd been walking with Jehovah for all these centuries, millennia, walking with him and learning and all those stories that go on. And then all of a sudden, there's this something shifted in this moment as Jesus came, because now it isn't just the Jewish people that are responding to Christ, but there are all these other nations, all these other tongues, all these uncircumcised Philistines, you could almost say, who are now responding to Jesus and saying, there is truth in this man. Life makes sense. There is something about this God and who this Jesus is that we must respond to. And so they are coming to be part of the church. In fact, I just want to highlight in Romans, at the beginning of Romans, why we know this is a Gentile church. He says this in chapter 1, verse 1. I'll just read the first few verses. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son and his earthly life. He was born into King David's family line here, making references to the Jewish history, the Jewish story. And he is shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority by apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere. So there is this confirming of what's been actually going on. There is this confirming that Gentiles are hearing the gospel. And it's happening everywhere, what God has done for them. So God has done this miracle of salvation. Jesus didn't just come for the Jewish people, but he came for the Gentiles, for everyone, every one of you and me in this room. Isn't that amazing? Who's glad that, you know, Jesus didn't just come for the Jewish people? Yeah. Okay, so we're in that boat. That's cool. And you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. I am writing to you all in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. There is this whole idea of holiness not just being for one group of people, but holiness for all those who respond to the message. The tree of the church is rooted in Christ and has already sprouted branches and first fruit through the people of Israel, but there are branches that are Jewish, that have broken away from the tree. And that's that tragedy, that side that Paul is identifying here. And, you know, maybe it's uncomfortable to think about that. There are people who knew the story of Jesus. They saw what went on. They saw him live out his life. They saw that he lived a sinless life. And yet he gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And yet they broke away from that and said, no, don't want to be part of that. It's contrary to what we've always felt. Next slide, man. A broken branch is no longer connected to the life source. That's what a broken branch looks like. I mean, it's no longer connected. It is divided. It is shattered. There is a splintering that takes place there. And the crazy thing is we can see this in the lives of people who once loved God, who have turned away. They used to be connected to church. They used to be connected to the tree. They were connected into the family of God, to the tree of God. And the branch has snapped, has broken. And I don't know. I mean, I kind of envision it like this sometimes, and maybe this is me taking a little bit of liberty with it, but if you imagine a tree and it has branches and an axe or something sharp, a knife or a machete or something, hits the side of a branch and it puts a wound in it. Have you ever seen that where a branch gets a wound in it? It's not necessarily on purpose, but there is this gash in the side of the branch. And, you know, it's there and it's like, you know, you look at that and it's almost like the branch has two choices here. There's a gash in the side of the branch and the branch could be torn away or it could be tried to be put back together and mended. There is this kind of process that can go on where a tree can be healed in that process. And if we look at the circumstances of life, sometimes, I don't know if it's you, but maybe you've had experiences where an axe has been taken to you as a branch. It's hit you and a fleshy wound appears in your life. And sometimes as branches, we look at the wound and we get so focused on the wound and so upset about the wound and all of a sudden we take our eyes off the trunk. We take our eyes off Jesus and we're looking at the wound and we're looking at that and we start to get upset about it and we start to perhaps pick at it and go, this thing hurts and it's painful and the branch tears more. And it breaks more, and the life force, the life flow that is existing between the trunk, the tree, and the branch is beginning to be severed. But because there is no focus on the branch of saying, "I need to be connected, I need to stay connected to the trunk," the branch begins to tear away, and the life force is pulled further, and there's less life force pouring out from the trunk into the branch, and the branch is dying slowly, and eventually, it breaks off completely, and life is broken. And all of a sudden, there is this dead branch that is missing all of its purpose. It's not going to grow fruit anymore. Its purpose is lost. And it feels like this is what life is now. I am a broken branch. I am separated. And the wound is too big. The gash was too big to fix. And so therefore, it was natural. It was just the way things were going to go. It's just the fact that the branch was going to be torn away from the tree. It was eventually going to happen. It was obvious. That is what normally happens. But that is only a mindset. That wasn't the only option. That was just one option, to be torn off. I think there are some dear, beloved people who look at the axe wound and they feel the pain and they allow the pain to go deep into their hearts. They take their eyes off the trunk and their fruit begins to wither. Paul writes that when we allow this to happen, the wound gets bigger and the tear in the branch gets larger. More life force can't get to the branch and eventually the branch breaks off and the life force is cut. The life no longer flows and the branch dies. And I want you to think about what I said about what wine represents in the ancient world. Because as the branch dies, it dies to all that stuff. It dies to truth. It dies to sustenance. It dies to life. It dies to covenant blessing. It dies to joy. It dies to celebration. It dies to festivity. And it dies to the abundant blessings of God. The branch breaks away from the tree. It breaks away from the vine. The branch is no longer part of the vine. It's no longer part of the vineyard. And if that's what vineyards symbolize in our lives, of new beginnings and fresh hope and this idea that there is joy in God, if that's what it all symbolizes in our lives, and we become a branch that breaks away from the tree, what do you think we're missing out on? We're missing out on producing the fruit in our lives. That is the very thing that we're always looking for. But there is this amazing picture in here too, because Paul talks about olive branches. Now, I don't know about you, I'm not a horticulturalist. I remember talking to Shane Hooker a bit about this because he used to be a bit of a horticulturalist, you know, trees and bushes and stuff. And I remember talking to him a bit about grafting, this idea of taking a branch that is not connected to a tree, a branch that is, in essence, dead, but restoring it to a tree. And here we have Paul talking about olive branches. And he talks about them being wild and rough and rugged. They're not natural. They're not the natural branch to go into the vine. Does that kind of make sense? And isn't this this beautiful picture where Paul is saying to each and every one of us, it doesn't kind of matter what kind of branch you are. There is this incredible thing that God does. It's like a miracle. This isn't natural. This is an unnatural process. Do you understand this? Where God wants to take a branch that has no earthly and natural business belonging to the vine, and God is going to do an operation. He's going to do a procedure where he is going to cut open the trunk of this living plant, this life source. And he's going to take this unearthly, unnatural plant, this branch, and trim the edge of it and connect the life forces together. And there's this incredible phenomenon. You can do this with plants. I've never really tried to do it myself. I think I probably did in primary school. Tried to put a daisy flower on a tree. I don't know. Probably doesn't quite work that way. But you can do this incredible thing where you can take a branch of a different species of tree, completely different species, and you can cut the trunk of a healthy tree and connect the two together, and you bind it with tape and you leave it for a season. And what happens is there's this fusing that happens where now this foreign branch becomes part of this completely different tree. And my understanding is that branch will grow different fruit, but it still grows fruit, which is quite an incredible thing to think of. It's like, I don't know if this works, but taking an apple branch and connecting it to a pear tree, and although the pear tree is growing all these pears over, there's this one branch that's growing apples. And that just seems really weird and bizarre, but there's this incredible thing that can take place. Others get grafted into the tree. By nature and appearance, they have no earthly place in that tree, but a miracle takes place when they are grafted, when they graft a foreign branch into a tree. A life force begins to flow, just as a branch that is broken from a tree and the life force is severed and taken away. As you graft a branch into a tree, a life force has begun as well. And there is this incredible picture of two things. You can be a broken branch and have no life, or you can be a grafted branch and receive this life. And for those of us that have come to know faith, and we've gone through a grafting process, you could say, where we didn't know Christ and we came to this place where Christ says, I love you. I died for you. I gave my life so that by, even though I know you've sinned, I know you rebelled against God, I want to restore you into my tree. I want you to be part of what I'm doing. And as we've surrendered to him and given up of our own desires and our own way of doing things, and we say, Jesus, I want to be part of what you're doing. I surrender my life to you. I want to connect my humble branch into your amazing trunk so that I can receive the life and have full meaning in my life and therefore produce fruit. I don't think we really understand fully the miracle of this truth, really. To the Jewish church, it was a huge shock to see God grafting Gentiles into the church. It was such an odd thing. It was such a strange thing. This wasn't their common practice to see God open, but the truth is that God opened the floodgates and the Gentiles were coming to the Lord. They were responding to Jesus. And it may have seemed a little bit scary, a little bit worrying. I've often wondered, who would it be? Who would we be scared or worried of being grafted into the church? If we've been here for a while and we've been part of the church and we've been living with Christ and we've been celebrating with him, and all of a sudden there was this floodgate that opened of a certain group of people, maybe a social setting or an area of society that we didn't connect with readily, all of a sudden they were grafted into the tree. There would be a shock. There would maybe be a process of worry and of anxiety around that. But if we trust that God knows what he's doing and he's doing something amazing, then maybe there's something awesome there. Just something to ponder and think of there. Paul is so hopeful, though, and I love this. You know, sometimes I think we can write people off. Like I said about that band at the beginning. You looked at their lifestyle in the 80s and what they were doing with their music, and it was horrendous. It was, it was like, man, the Christian church would have been up with pickets holding up crosses, crucifixes, and they're like, all that sort of carry-on. It was that bad, and yet Christ can reach someone in that background and bring them into his family. And this is this incredible picture here that Paul says, even though there are my fellow brothers, my Jewish family have broken off, there is still hope that even though they're broken off, they will be grafted in again. And isn't that an awesome hope that, if some of us, maybe we're not Jewish, but we've had a relationship with the Father and we have broken our branch off like that. If you go to the next slide, Steve, and then there's this grafting process that takes place where we become, again, we look at ourselves and we go, maybe we feel like we're a small twig and we have no place to be back in the tree. But yet we get connected into this big God again. And it's like, you look at it and it looks weird. It doesn't look right. It doesn't look like it should look. But God says, I don't care. The life is going to be back in you. You're going to receive the life that I have to give. And even though we can feel like an insignificant little twig, I want to tell you tonight, there is hope. Because we can be grafted back into the tree of God. We can come back. It doesn't matter what our broken branch looks like. It doesn't matter what you look at. Sometimes you, like I say, when we've had an axe swing and we've had a wound in our life, and we look at the wound and we're so focused on the wound, this hurt, this hurt, this hurt. I don't like that this happened in my life. I don't like what's happened. And all we're looking at is this gap between us and the Father. That's all we're focused on. But if we turn our eyes back to the trunk and realize that that is where life is, that is where true healing can take place, we too can be healed and received back into this incredible tree. And there again, we can be restored. And if that's where you're at tonight, I don't know. Perhaps you've had a time where you've been away from the Lord and you feel a bit like a broken branch. You feel like, yes, I remember once what it was like to have fellowship with my Savior, to have fellowship with my Father, and to have this incredible purpose in my life and this incredible kind of sense of life and meaning of what it's all about. And I tore away because things hurt, circumstances happened. Things happened in my life that I didn't like. They weren't fair. They weren't what I wanted out of being a Christian. And the Father was right there saying, please don't break away. Please don't break away. Stay here. Stay here. I will fix this. I will heal you. There is a process that can take place, and we broke away anyway. And yet, even though that has happened, even though we've become this lifeless branch on the ground, God says, come back. It's not too late. Isn't it funny how sometimes when we see a branch breaking off, I mean, this is my reaction in my garden. If I see a branch, perhaps there's been a wind storm or something, and a branch has been ripped off, my natural process is throw it away. And I think sometimes we're like that with God. We think, no, I've blown it. It's too late. The branch is broken. And so therefore, there's no hope. And we don't even consider the fact that God will take us back. We disqualify ourselves. And God doesn't disqualify us. He says, come back. Let me graft you back in. Yes, it might be a bit painful. There might be a bit of trimming that has to take place. I've got to sharpen that stick up again. I've got to get the flesh back so that it can connect back to me. But if you trust me, you will receive life again. And then fruit will develop in your life again. And imagine being the branch that went through that process. Yes, it may have been scary. Yes, it may have hurt a little bit. But imagine being the branch now reestablished, now regrafted to the tree, receiving life and fruit in your life again. And you would look back and go, oh man, I was so silly to wait so long. Amen? We would look back and go, man, I wish I'd done this sooner. That would be our natural response. And so for each and every one of us, there is indeed this incredible hope for us. Let's go to the next slide, Steve. Paul tells us that we can be grafted back into the tree and receive the life of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. For those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's that truth, isn't it? And it's just the simple truth. We look at that and perhaps we do look at that and go, well, that's why I feel nothing. That's why I'm not doing anything with my life. That's why life feels unfulfilled. Because I feel like I am apart from him. I am no longer in him and he is no longer in me. And so therefore I am in this predicament where, you know, I don't have hope. I don't have fruit in my life. And what Paul is saying here is just so exciting because even though you're in that place where you could feel like a broken branch, it is the Father's desire that you be grafted back in. Never lose hope. Never lose hope. Yes, I wasn't there. I didn't see what happened in your life. I didn't feel the hurt that you went through. I wasn't there to perhaps meet the need. But I tell you this, God saw. And he desperately wanted to be involved. But I guess if we're really honest, sometimes we can push ourselves away from that because we're so focused on the pain and on the hurt. Can I have the lovely Gabrielle come do the keyboard? Thank you. Vineyards, new beginnings, fresh hope. Each and every one of us, I believe, want that. We all want to be part of what God is doing. We don't want our circumstances and the things that we've had to go through, the trials that we have in life, to rob us of what God has for each and every one of us. The hope to the nation of Israel and Jeremiah was that, yes, there was a hard time coming, if you remember. Yet she says that some of you won't even make it through this. But for those that make it, for those that hold on, for those of you that hold on to this promise, I want to promise you this, there is a vineyard coming. There is this new establishment. There is this new beginning. And it's going to be filled with all those wonderful things, with life, with joy, with abundant blessing, with covenant blessing. All these incredible things that the Father wants for each and every one of our lives. That is what he wants for us. The thing we have to realize is that a vineyard is made up of many branches. We are all connected supernaturally to the vine. Jesus Christ. You and I are family. The life force, the life sustenance that comes from Jesus, that flows through my life, flows through your life. And by that, we are supernaturally connected to one another. We are part of the family of God. We all have the privilege and the right to be called the children of God. But I have a feeling that perhaps tonight there are some of us that probably don't feel like that. Don't feel like we are really blessed. We don't feel like we're really children of God. We feel a bit like a broken branch where perhaps we know the truth. We know the truth about who God is. But the flesh connection, the life force isn't quite there. And I want to let you know tonight, not tomorrow, not on Tuesday or Wednesday, or even next Sunday. I want you to know tonight, Jesus wants to graft you back into his tree. And it doesn't matter what your wound looks like. God can clean that up. God can deal with it. And he can connect you back into his family, into his church. Tonight, if you know you're apart from Jesus, that is this. Jesus currently has no place in your life. You live how you want to live and rely on your own thoughts and your own desires, your own values, and you truly know that it's not working. It's never enough. Tonight you can be grafted into the tree of Jesus. Become part of his church and receive the life of the Holy Spirit. Just go to the final slide, bro. Jesus also said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. More than you can think, more than you can grapple with. Abundantly. It's a big word, abundantly. It's not just life, it's more than life. It's life to the max, turned up to 11. I'm going to pray. And if you want to respond to Jesus tonight, then I'd love for you to just stand where you are in your seat. And I'm going to include you in this prayer. And then I'm going to hand back to Pastor. Hallelujah. Just bow our heads and close our eyes. If you want to respond, I just want to ask you to stand in your seat. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. So good. God is so good. Congratulations, you guys. Oh, wow. Love nothing more than people responding to the love of Jesus. Tonight, there is a grafting taking place, people. Do you understand? There is something in the spirit that is shifting. A grafting is taking place where people are going to come back to the love and the connection of the Holy Father. Hallelujah. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your life. We thank you for your love. Lord God, we thank you for your joy. We thank you that tonight, Lord God, that we are in this space and we know, Lord God, that you are here, that your presence is thick. Lord, that you've spoken to us, each of our hearts, Lord God. Each of us here are branches, Lord. Some of us know you and are connected to you and we have life from you, Lord God. But there are some of us here, Lord God, who are yet to know you, are yet to know that life. Some of us here knew that life but have lost it. And we're here tonight, Lord God, to say we want to remain in you. We want to remain part of the vine, Lord God. We want to remain part of what you're doing, your family, your church. Lord, we ask that tonight, Lord God, for these dear ones that are standing, Lord, that you would meet with them, Lord, that you would connect with them and touch their hearts afresh, Lord God, that they would know that they don't have to be alone, they don't have to be severed, Lord God, but they can have intimate relationship with you where your life flows to them and through them, Lord God. I pray for them, Lord God, that you would bless them, Father. As they respond to you, Lord God, that they would find that purpose and that meaning in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.